we ask that you would use this time for whatever it is that you have. And we pray that you would use the words that I might say, that these would not be mine, but yours, and that we would receive it not just in our own hearts, but for the greater purpose of your kingdom. And we ask that you would be and fill this room, Holy Spirit, that this would do a lasting work in not only our hearts, but in the kingdom as well. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the last couple months we've been going through the story, which is a narrative version of the Bible. And last week we found ourselves in Ezekiel, which historically, oh, yep, kids are dismissed in the back. Another thing I'm forgetting. Also, Claire and David would like me to let you know that it is Tom and Anna's anniversary. So they wanted to embarrass you guys a little bit. Congratulations. They weren't gonna let me live it down. Anyway, we find ourselves in Ezekiel last week, and which historically on the timeline is during the time of the Babylonian exile, which basically what that means is the Babylonians were the rising superpower of the time, before the time of Ezekiel. Babylonians were the rising superpower of the time. And what happens was they were plotting to seize the land of Judah, the land of the Israelites, and Jerusalem. So what the Israelites did, if you can believe it or not, was they went to seek help from a neighboring land called Egypt. And if you know anything about the history of the Israelites, you would know that centuries before that, they had escaped from Egypt and the captivity of Egypt. So the irony here is the land that they once escaped from, enslaving them, they're now seeking aid from in order to help escape slavery in the future. But the funny thing about once we're freed from something is we're freed from it so we don't go back to it. But I can assure you that whenever we go back to something that we've already been freed from, there's nothing but negative consequences ahead. Because the Israelites, though they sought aid from Egypt, did not provide the aid that they sought, and the Babylonians seized Judah, seized Jerusalem, and took the Israelites into, once again, captivity, a theme in the Old Testament. So we read about Ezekiel last week, the Valley of the Dry Bones, and Pastor Chet talked a little bit about how Ezekiel prophesied over the restoration of Israel from captivity and that it would once again be a fruitful nation. But we now find ourselves in Daniel, in the heart of captivity. So I'd like to read for you from Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them in the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord, my king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Will you join me in prayer once again? Speak, Lord, through these lips, however unworthy, the wonderful words of life. Amen. So, we read about these four men throughout the first half of the book of Daniel. We read about some of the crazy things that this Babylonian king had them do. And we read about some of the situations that God has sought them or saw them through. And undeniably, we can see God's hand in all of these situations. But it starts in chapter 1, I believe, when the king chooses a few of these men, not just four, but the Bible says among these were these four men. He chooses men to come into his royal service, not just Israelites, but it's other people from other faiths and other religions that are also coming into this royal training program, if you will. And he sits them at the king's table and offers them food. Now, it's not mystery meat and dirty water. This is choice meats and wine that he's offering them. And these four men, out of all of the men of Judah that have been taken into captivity, say no thank you. And they say no thank you, and these were the four that did it. But what I want to say today is that these four made the list of those who were obedient, because they didn't only go against the culture in which they were a part of, they went against the others in their faith, in their tribe, who did not choose to consecrate their bodies to the Lord. And it's easy for me to sit up here and say that we need to obey God no matter what the world says. And it's harder for me to say it's we need to obey God no matter what the world says and what the other Christians are doing. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes the voice of the Lord, that still small whisper, can come from the traditions of what our faith is. And sometimes it comes from scripture, but sometimes it comes from the conviction of knowing that no matter what everybody else does, we need to be true to what we personally believe. And we need to remain true to who we are in Christ. And if we don't know that, better figure it out. So Daniel asks the chief if it would be okay for them to try just fruits and vegetables for a week. And the chief says, "Well, I don't want my hands to get dirty from this, but well, okay. And if you look worse, then you know that's on me. But I'm trusting you with this." And so they come back, and the Bible says that after this, They looked healthier and stronger, more well-rested than everybody else. And they got chosen for the king's service. And they started moving up in the ranks. Moving up in the ranks not because of how obedient they were to what the king wanted them to do, but more they were moving up in the ranks because of how obedient they were to who God had called them to be. There's a line there. Because you want to be obedient to the systems and the kingdom that you're in out of respect for that. But that cannot get muddied with the fact that we need to stay true to who we are or we're going to lose that. Daniel got to choose between Daniel and Belshazzar, and he chose Daniel. Throughout his whole life, he chose Daniel. He could have been called Belshazzar, and he could have probably moved up in a similar way in the king's ranks. But God had a different plan for him, and the only way that he knew that is because he stayed true to who he was the whole way through. And it starts in chapter 1 when he chose to consecrate his mind and his body through his diet, first and foremost, of all things, convicts me a little bit, to the Lord. And we keep reading. And in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar calls together all the court officials and the sorcerers and the prophets of different faiths. And he said, I need you to interpret a dream for me. They said, okay, what's your dream? He said, I want you to interpret it. Tell me what it is. Oh, king. Okay. Tell me what your dream is. And he said, you tell me. Why can't you tell me? If your God or gods were the most powerful, you'd be able to tell me what my dream was. And so he sends out a decree that all of these court officials were to be put to death. And when they come knocking on Daniel's door, Daniel says, whoa, why wasn't I called first? I'll tell you what the dream means. And he interprets it. And we read that King Nebuchadnezzar doesn't care. He's not a man of a certain faith. He's not a man of a certain conviction. He just wants something authentic. He just wants something real for himself, much like a lot of people who are not in this church today. They want something real and they want something authentic. They don't care where it's from. That's so easy to see. It doesn't matter where a lot of people get their authenticity. They're real. They just want to be known. They just want to feel known. Nebuchadnezzar, he just wanted his dream interpreted. He just wanted to know that somebody was there for him. And Daniel's God, the God of Israel, was there for Nebuchadnezzar, not only that time, but times and times after that as Daniel continued to move up in the service of the king. So my first charge to you guys is be true to who you are. Because when people all around you see who you are, see that the convictions by which you live are authentic. The messages that you speak through the way that you live are authentic. You will never need to preach at anybody. Because the only thing that people want is authenticity. That's all they want. They just want you to know who you are. And once they see that you're not just another hypocritical Christian, then that opens up and softens their heart for them to receive the message that through your body language and through your life, you are living. And then there's a couple tests that Nebuchadnezzar puts them through, the furnace and the lion's den, both of which for most, probably all people, are fatal. And he sentenced these guys to death. And what happens? The fire doesn't burn them. The lions don't eat them. They can't kill them. And they can't take them down. They tried. Fire might burn me. Lions might eat me. But they couldn't take Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael down. And I was thinking, I was journaling a little bit this week. I meet with a couple other residents from other churches, and we were doing a little like journaling exercise. And I was asked to journal about what happens if I get through to the other side and give up my material possessions to the Lord. What fruit do I think I would see from that? And my mind went back to Daniel, who consecrated all of who he was. He started rebuking the food and the diet plan that the king had given him, and he started there. And then the favor of the Lord seemed to rest upon him, and I started thinking about why that might have been. And I started journaling, and I wrote, I wonder if the fire was hot. I wonder if the lions had teeth to Daniel. I wonder if he was even scared at all. Or I wonder if he was assured enough in the Lord that he was just walking into another room when the guards saw the furnace that, quote, would burn the skin off of you just by standing on the outside of it. I wonder if Daniel even knew the furnace was on. I wonder if it even mattered to him that it was on. I wonder if he knew so well who the Lord was that he walked into the furnace knowing that he was going to walk right back out. And same with the lion's den. The lion's den was just another petting zoo for him, because he was so assured in who he was in Christ, who he was in the Father. He was so assured of the Father's love for him that it didn't matter that these trials and these tests and the diet regimens and all these things that the king tried to throw on him, all these cultural stigmas and all these things, that it didn't matter, because he knew so well who he was in Christ. Do you know how much the Father loves you? Do you know? Do you understand that today? Do you understand that no matter what you go through, no matter what trial comes your way, no matter what the world throws at you, that you're going to walk out on the other side unscathed? And do you know that when you walk through that furnace, there's an extra guy in there with you? Do you understand that today? Do you understand that today? When I was at Indiana Wesleyan, there was a common theme my last 2 years there, where a lot of leaders on campus felt that there was going to be a revival that happened on campus. And just a huge corporate revival that happened on campus. And they brought in a speaker They brought in a speaker to help usher that in, I guess, or something, or help explain that. And the speaker, the first night of this, kind of like, it was like a week-long gathering. We call it our summit. It's at the beginning of each semester. The first week of each semester, we have like a summit gathering. And it's every morning and every night for 3 nights. And at the first night service, he says something along the lines, as he's describing what revival would be. We're all thinking like it's going to be this huge Azusa Street revival where everybody's going crazy and nobody can leave the building for a month straight. And he says, no, if you want revival, stand like this with your feet together. Take a piece of chalk and draw a circle around your body. And do not move until revival comes. And he preached the rest of the sermon like this, standing. And he said, if you want revival, it happens here first. It does not happen here first. If you want lasting change, it happens in here. Do not move until revival happens. And then, and only then, will you bring that revival, bring that personal change, that lasting change to others. It starts here. And we see that in Daniel. We see that because he resisted the king, because he stayed true to right here, that he kept the Lord centered in his heart. It was only then that King Nebuchadnezzar, and it was only then that the court officials were able to actually see who God was. And only then that they were able to experience the love and to be known by the Father like King Nebuchadnezzar was. And King Nebuchadnezzar continued to oppress the Israelites until he went blind. And towards the end of his life, he called Daniel in. And Daniel was able to help him see and turn even this awful king's heart. But it starts in here for you. Daniel never had to preach a word. He used his gifts. He used the gifts God had given him. And he never had to preach at anyone. Never had to talk at anyone. It was who he was. Do you know who you are in Christ? I'll ask it again. Are you confident? Are you assured in that? Because if not, take your chalk and draw a line around yourself until you know, until you've heard that God loves you. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you again for this time, and we understand that though we just want people to know you, and we just want people to understand and know the truth, and we talk and talk and talk until we get dizzy, that so much more can be done by just knowing you ourselves. By letting you judge us instead of us judging others, us talking at others, and we pray in this time that you would speak to our hearts, that you would tell us who we are in you. You would let us know that we're loved. Show us how to love. God, if we need personal revival today, I pray that you would help us to be still in your presence for however long it takes, until we see a lasting change inside of ourselves, till we see the consecration and obedience that only comes from your Spirit. And we know that we don't understand it, but we know that your favor rests on us even when we do fall short. But we pray that even though we might fall short, and we will, that you would come in the midst of that and help us to experience your grace that we do not deserve. We couldn't earn it. Thank you for giving yourself away for our sins, that we might be made new in you. And we pray for those who need to hear that today, that you've died for our sins so that we might experience you even greater. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going back to our normal discussion time this week, and if you are not with us consistently, we have been doing something a little bit different. We were doing three groups. One of them was the history of the Alliance group, where we were going through and talking about that. However, we ended that, I think, 2 weeks ago, and we're going back now to our regular discussion groups. I know that a couple met in here, conference room, the library, and wherever else. But I encourage you guys to meet up, gave you some time for a couple minutes, talk over these questions, pray over them, and hopefully you get to think and process that throughout the week. Anyway, God bless, guys. Have a good week.
On the nights when the dark lasts a little bit longer, when the wind and the storm is a little bit stronger, when the fear in my heart digs a little